This is Mission Academy, Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020 at 1:15. And we're going to just go over our little norms real quick. Place your phone on mute. We're getting better at that, you guys. When addressing the board, please announce your full name first. And please do not place your phone on hold. If you need to leave the call, please hang up and dial back. So we'll go ahead and start with calling the meeting to order. And we'll call roll call of the board. Carol Stanford, present. Claudette Beck, present. Mike Malloy,
present.
And John George,
present.
And Barbara Willebrand, present. All right, so we have a quorum. So now we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance. And what I'd like to, I'm going to ask John George to lead us, but everybody else put it on mute. Is that okay with you, John? It just makes it a little easier.
My pleasure.
Okay.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. So now we're going to do staff introductions. So we'll start with corporate officers, and Jeff and Jerry first.
Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Jerry Vincent, Corporate CFO Secretary.
All right. And then we'll go to school staff.
Christine Cassett, Area Superintendent.
Jeff Martin, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Okay, so now we'll go to school legal counsel.
Bill Thompson, attorney to the board.
Okay, advisors who are supporting agenda items are presenting. Claudio and Araceli.
Cara Senemior, Senior Director of Finance with the LLC.
Okay, Gita.
Hi, this is Gita, the CFO with LLAC.
Okay, good. All right. And then other staff, anyone who has not introduced herself is on the line, please. Please introduce yourself.
Good afternoon, it's Dr. Fox, Director of LCAP and Accountability.
Hi,
this is Michelle. Hi, this is Michelle Lopez, Capital of LLAC.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, this is Barbara Alfredin with the Law Office of Bill J. Thompson.
All right. So is that everybody? All right. So everybody has introduced yourself. So now we'll go to... Okay, make sure everybody has their phone on mute, okay? We've got to do that. It's too hard. I get too confused. So let's go to E. Approve agenda for the June 2nd, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. Any questions or discussions? And can I get a motion and a second?
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
Barbara Willebrand second. Okay, so Mike Malloy made the motion and Barbara Willebrand seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John George,
aye.
And Barbara Willebrand, aye. So E has passed with 5 ayes. We'll go now to F, approve minutes of the April 21st, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. Any questions or discussions? This is on page 5. Okay, being done, can I have a motion and a second?
A real brand motion.
Okay.
Claudette Beck second.
Okay, so Barbara motion and Claudette seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John George,
aye.
And Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
So we have 5 ayes for F. We're now going to go to consent agenda. A, consent agenda. All items listed under consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. This is 1 through 4. 1 being to approve the revised mathematic placement policy, 2 to approve the 2020-21 student parent handbook, 3 to approve the revised suspension suspension expulsion policy, and four, to accept the uniform complaint for the 2019-2020 school year. And there have been zero reports received. So any questions, or anybody want anything taken off the consent agenda?
This is Board Member George. Take a motion to approve.
Okay.
Mike Moy, second.
Okay, so John George motioned, and I think Barbara Willebrand seconded. Okay, so we'll vote.
Carol, Barbara, did you second? I thought I heard Mike.
I did. Okay. Mike did second.
All right, we'll put Mike on there this time.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So let's vote. Joe Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John George,
aye.
Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
So the consent agenda A 1-4 has passed with 5 ayes. We're now in public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter's jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comment will not exceed 18 minutes for agenda item or 10 minutes for non-agenda items, in accordance with the Brown Act. No action may occur at the time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Is there anyone from the public who would like to introduce themselves or have a comment?
No one is coming forth that I'm aware of.
All right. So now we're on 4, school reports and information. And this is area superintendent update, Dr. Kasich.
Hi, board. I'm happy to provide you with an update for the Mission Academy charter. Our COVID-19 update is that our school remains opening and functioning as normal, and we are actively enrolling students. Since our last board meeting in April, we have enrolled 42 students, and during the COVID-19 period, we've enrolled a total of 63 students. In January, our enrollment was 282 students. As of yesterday, our enrollment is 419 students, which is an increase of 137 students. With all of the current events going on, I'm anticipating that our enrollment will grow more rapidly than we have seen in the past. The 137 students, born, just to let you know, is more than we had all of last school year. So we've really, really grown. Our students are more engaged with their schoolwork than we've seen prior to COVID-19. We're sending positive cards home weekly, with students reaching out to thank their teachers for the cards. We recently sent out a card with a fish on it for the students to color and post on our social media sites or email us for posting. We have received 4 decorated fish from students with a request for more cards of this type. One of our students is quote-unquote famous on social media and shared out how much he liked our school, which has resulted in many more followers of our social media sites. He also colored a fish and posted it. With our partnership with SAYA, the Soledad Enrichment Action Group, and my happenstance contact with the director of probation on a flight just before the pandemic, we are now enrolling students who are being released from camp on probation. SAYA, along with the probation officers, are assisting us with wraparound services for these students. Our partnership with SAYA has resulted in Dr. Perry Crouch, the education chair for the Watch Gang Task Force, reaching out to us to provide education to students living within the Watts Housing Project. According to Dr. Crouch, many students in grades 6 to 12 do not feel safe leaving the project to travel to their local school. We have provided printed information for the students and families and look forward to supporting the community. Since our April report, we have graduated 4 more students for a total of 19 students this school year. We have approximately 10 students who, with some focus and hard work, will graduate by June 30th. The team is deciding on the format for graduation by seeking parent and student input. We may have a virtual graduation either late June or early July, and hope to have a face-to-face ceremony when it is safe to do so. In light of the recent protests and social unrest, our already traumatized students and families are being traumatized again. Our teachers, counselor, and staff are reaching out to our families to let them know we are here for them and making sure they are safe, have the basic necessities, and know how to access various resources. I want to give you a summary of our current enrollment. So like I said earlier, current enrollment is 419 students, ranging from grade 6 all the way up to 12, with every grade level having some enrollment. Our students by age, 11 to 24, with the majority of our students in the 16 through 18 year old gap range. We currently have 17 students experiencing homeless. I'm anticipating that number to increase this pandemic and other civil unrest is going on, if this number will probably increase. We have 9 foster students. We have 85 special education students, which is currently 20% of our enrollment. And like I said, currently we have 19 graduates. That concludes my report to the board. Does the board have any questions?
That was wonderful. That's good to hear. Anybody else?
Just a great increase in students. I heard that you said that last time. I think that you figured there would be, and I'm glad to see that, and I suppose there'll be quite a bit more. That's great.
I want a fish.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll send you a card.
Okay. That's wonderful. I love that. That's a nice thing to do. All right. So let's go to your B, discussions on graduation requirements. Dr. Kate.
Yes. And this is purely for discussion. I would like the board to provide some input on this. The leadership staff and the school counselor and I have had conversations regarding our graduation requirements, especially in light of the fact that we have data showing that approximately 60% of our students are ages 16 to 18, with about 45% of them being 17 and 18 year olds. A large number of those students are coming into us enrolled in 9th or 10th grade, so they're severely behind in credit. The current diploma is 210 credits. They're coming to us with 9th grade credits, which means they have a lot of credits left to complete. The California Department of Education states the minimum number of credits to graduate is 130, which includes 3 years of English, 3 years of social studies, 2 years of math, which includes 1 year of algebra, 2 years of science, 2 years of PE, and 1 year of visual performing arts. In the 130 diploma require the minimum credits required by the state, there are no electives, and no extra courses required to be taken. It simply is the core with 1 year of visual and performing arts, or CPE. So I would like to discuss with the board and get feedback and input as to whether or not you think with our students coming to us overaged and under-credited, and really a high school diploma makes a big difference in their life, do you have any input on us potentially moving to a 130 credit as our requirement to graduate students, with then providing lots of counseling and support and encouragement to get kids to complete more credits so that they can be college ready?
Is this going to be in place all the time, or just for right now for these times? Or?
The school leadership thinks that something like this, and all the time for students, but really counseling students into more credits to make them, you know, have a more broad educational experience. I know the current times are lending folks to say, hey, let's do it temporarily. But we're looking at our student population and the types of students we're serving. A lot of students of color, a lot of students who are just a bit of, the system has just not worked for them, and really a diploma will help them go way farther than they could have gotten without a diploma. Not looking to be like a diploma mill, but actually make sure that these 130 credits are solid. And then we do know we have kids on the college path, so saying, these are the minimum requirements, here's what we recommend, and have the recommended be the 210 that we currently have, but not be the graduation requirement. Does that make sense?
Anybody else? Are the colleges on with this?
So if you graduate with 130 credits, you would only be eligible for community college, which is why we would counsel students and make sure that they understood if you wanted to go to a four-year university, we need you on to do 210 credits to be able to go directly to that four-year. But the majority of our population is looking to go directly into the workforce as it currently stands. So this could be something we read. Like, this is not up for a vote. I just want to have a discussion on it. Just something the staff and the leadership have thrown out. I've tossed it around myself, thinking that the current population of students we serve, 130 credits is already a large number for them to obtain. And when you tell them it's 210, they shut down on us. So just thinking that, hey, we start it now, let's see what works and what doesn't. We have to try different things as a school. So I wanted to just get input.
It's interesting. I think it's something we all want to think about a little bit. I'm not sure how I feel about it.
I think it's important to keep students engaged. And if one third keeps them engaged, then I would be in favor of that.
Yeah, it's daunting because they're so far behind.
Okay, but isn't 130 daunting, though? I mean,
yeah, I know. And there are a lot of classes that you take that are, I don't know, that are fillers. So there's another way to look at it, you know. I don't know how much art you can take. Art's good, it's fun, it keeps you in school, but you didn't have to have it to have a high school diploma. All right, that's interesting. Okay, any other questions or discussion? So we're on C, report on mathematic placement results, right? Did we do B?
Yes.
It was there. Okay,
you got it.
So we're on C.
Thank
now.
You so much, Bart. I appreciate your feedback on that. The mathematic placement report, so the California Mathematics Placement Act of 2015 required our board to adopt a fair, objective, and transparent mathematics placement policy before the beginning of the 2016 school year. Our first adopted policy was in 2018, and as you saw on today's consent agenda, was revised to include some minor technical revisions. The policy addresses students entering ninth grade and includes a number of required elements to ensure equity and student achievement, including the following. It considers multiple objective academic measures, includes at least one placement checkpoint within the first month of the school year to ensure accurate placement and to permit re-evaluation of individual student progress. Requires an annual examination of pupil placement data to ensure that students are not held back in a disproportionate manner on the basis of their race, ethnicity, gender, or socioeconomic background. Requires an annual audit report to, requires an annual report to be provided to the governing board. Offers clear and timely recourse for each pupil and his or her parent or legal guardian who questions the student placement, and requires the policy to be posted on each school's website. For this year's annual report, we are pleased to report that this year that all ninth grade students progressed in their mathematics courses and none were held back. We will continue to evaluate this data and report to the board next year pursuant to the board's policy. Any questions?
Anybody? Okay, so now we're on D. Thank you, Dr. Chaser. So we're on D's finance update for Jerry Benson.
Okay, board. So we have some items here. The Form 990 is a tax form. We have an extension due to COVID, so the extension date is July 15th. We will complete the form and submit it to the board for review prior to submission to the IRS. It will be filed timely. Also, regarding the Triple P, which is the Payroll Protection Program, we did in fact receive the funding in the amount of $503,900, and we are informing the board that in the receiving of those funds, the being able to do ACH transactions make it much easier to move funds from the receiving point to the pay point. And so we're informing the board that we're going to expand on that particular option to be able to do ACH. Later in our conversation today, we will address the Payroll Protection Program, and we will talk about loan forgiveness, but I just wanted to, on the update, give you this Triple P update and let you know that we did, in fact, receive those dollars. And then I would like to pose a question to Dr. Kassis. Dr. Kassis, would you like to have a discussion regarding getting the board input on Title I, or shall we put that off for another time?
Jerry, I would like to postpone that to another later meeting.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. And forgive me for bringing it up. I just didn't want to miss it. So thank you so much. So that concludes my update. Board, any questions or comments?
Oh, we're glad we got the money, and thank you, finance team. You did a lot of paperwork to get all that done.
Yes, a lot of paperwork was done on our behalf, and we're grateful, for sure.
All right, so let's move on to action items 5A. The board will be asked to confirm its acknowledgement to Carol Stanford, Claudette Beck, Mike Malloy, John Dorch, and Barbara Willebrand have been reappointed as members of the Board of Directors by Educational Advancement Corporation, the sole members of Alta Vista Public Charter, Inc. for the term July 1st, 2020 through June 30th, 2021. And Jerry, would you like to say something about that?
Just saying that this item is recommending that the board members confirm their acknowledgement of EAC's action.
All right. Any questions or discussions? And can I have a motion?
Claudette, I'll make a motion.
Claudette motioned it, and John seconded it. Right? All right. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John Dorch,
aye.
And our roll back.
Aye.
All right, so 5A, 5 ayes have passed. We are now on 5B. The board will be asked to reauthorize approved bank account signers to conduct necessary banking matters. And this is Jerry Jensen. This is on page 95 of your packet.
Thank you, Carol, for referring individuals to the document. So we are asking to remove Dr. Pat Hill, to remove Janet Wilson, and to add Dr. Kassis to give us a well-rounded number of signers for the schools. Again, remove Hill, remove Janet Wilson, add Dr. Kassis.
Sounds good to me. Any questions, discussion? Can I have a motion? Claudette Beck made it, and Barbara seconded it. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John Dorch,
aye.
And Barbara Wilbrandt,
Aye.
So 5B has been approved with 5 ayes. We're now on 5C. The board will be asked to reauthorize the officers of the corporation to award discretionary incentives to employees at various sundry times. Dr. Kaper.
Hi, board. We'd like to offer incentives that are discretionary and will be determined based on current budgetary and financials of the school.
Okay, any questions, discussions? Can I have a motion then? Mike moved it, Carol seconded. So we'll vote on 5C. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John George,
aye.
And Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
So 5C has passed. So we're on 5D. The board will be asked to with 5 ayes. The board will be asked to approve the request for loan forgiveness of the Small Business Association Payroll Protection Program, the PPP, as it is now known. Jerry Goodson, on page 97.
Thank you, President, Master President. And the loans have been dispersed to the school, and there are qualifications and restrictions and requirements and a checklist on how go about getting the loan forgiven. And so I will defer to our expert, Gita, to explain that process.
Hi, everyone. Hi. Thank you, Dave. So if you refer to pages 97 to 98 of the board packet, and there is a document called PPP Forgiveness Checklist. There's an action item on the board agenda to request forgiveness for the loans that were received, the PPP loans. The amount that was received on May 7th, 2020, that's the date that the amount of the loan was dispersed, for $503,900. Based on the checklist that we received, those are the guidelines that are set forth by the bank, Omni Bank, that we applied to. And then in line with the guidelines that are coming from Small Business Administration. So those guidelines constantly change. I can tell you that those might change again, but we're going through those guidelines following the directive and right now gathering the documents because as it states in the current guidelines, starting week 7 after the funding, the borrower is required to reach out to the bank to submit the forgiveness request. So in order to make the decision to apply for forgiveness, as you all know, in the last board meeting I explained how the PPP funds work, and it's a loan at a low interest rate of 1%, is that in order to make a decision, we did a full a three-year cash analysis for Mission Academy. And with that, we showed that the first year, if we do not, if the school does not accept the PPP loan, and require and apply for forgiveness due to the deferrals that are set by city the month of June, which is June of this year, 2020. In the month of July, the school has to request loan and borrow money at $2.5 million amount. And thereafter, about between $300,000 to $640,000 for this upcoming fiscal year. So the school will not be in a good cash position. The school does not have any line of credit right now with the bank. As Jerry mentioned, we will be hopefully applying, I think it's the item on the agenda, but it, or it does have line of credit with LLAC, and that's also on the agenda. So in, when you receive or accept the forgiveness loan of the PPP, and the school still needs to borrow, but not at the at the amount that I just noted. So still they need to borrow at about $2 million because of the deferral. So that's what we did. We did a 3-year analysis, and this upcoming fiscal year is going to be very tough, especially April, May, and June. There might be more deferrals, and then same as the years to come with the flat earnings or revenue. So it's on the agenda for requesting approval, but we wanted to ask the board or recommend to the board to request for forgiveness and approve that so we can move forward. That concludes my section. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
John Norris, move to approve.
Okay, I'm on mute, I'm sorry. All right, here we go. Let's vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John George,
aye.
And Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
So 5D has passed, and 5D is passed. And again, who motioned and seconded that? I was on mute. Perfect.
This is John. I motion.
Okay. And then Claudia was second. Thank you. And there were 5 ayes on it. All right. You have to be careful of that mute button. That is passed. So the board will be asked to approve the correction of a typographical error on the June 30th, 2019 annual audit report of the school. That's E. Dr. Kaysen?
The correction is a typographical error, and I defer to Keita from LLAC to provide information on the correction.
Thank you, Dr. Cash. So this is Keita. The audited statement, the year ending 6/30/2019, had a typographical error, which was not significant. It was a very minor typographical change on schedule of average daily attendance. Instead of it noting a non-classroom base, it stated classroom base, so that none was left out. It's on page 23 of the audited statement and in your packet. It's pages 99 to 100. The corrective page is there. So we're just letting the board know and that was corrected and submitted to the state controller's office.
Okay. Any questions? Can I have a motion and a second?
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
Okay. Barbara Willebrand seconds. Barbara Willebrand seconds on Mike motion and Barbara seconds. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John George,
aye.
And Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
So E has passed with 5 ayes. The board on F will be asked to approve the local control funding formula, the LCFF, which drives the primary source of revenue for the charter schools. And Jerry Gibson.
Yes, the LCFF is the primary source of funding for the schools. And if there are any questions need to expound, Claudio Wall, I will defer to Claudio to answer any of the questions and provide this information.
Thank you, Jerry. I would like to add would like to tell the board the amounts of the LCFF formula that is determining the revenue for the schools. The total revenue calculated by the LCFF formula for next year 2021 is going to be $12,844,251 in revenue. This total includes a base funding that depends exclusively on AGA by grade span and the amount on this portion is going to be $11,207,898, or 87% of the total LCFF funding. And the second portion is going to be the supplemental and concentration funding, and it's going to be in the amount of $1,636,353, or 13% of the total LCFF funding. The second portion is determined by the number of pupils the school serves that are identified as low-income, foster children, homeless, or English learners. Any questions from the board?
All right. There's no questions. Can I have a motion and a second? I'll make a motion. Okay, Barbara Willebrand, a motion.
Claudette Bennett.
And then Claudette seconded. Okay, second. All right.
Yes.
So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Bennett.
Aye.
Mike Malloy.
Aye.
John Dortch.
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand.
Aye.
So 5F has passed with 5 ayes. All right, so now we're on G. The board will be asked to approve the Education Protection Account Spending Determination. And this is Jerry Genson.
Yes, the EPA is a component of the LCFS funding, and it is to be used only for instruction, and it has to be posted on our website every year. And Claudio, I refer to you for the specific amount to be spoken to.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Jerry. Just wanted to add that the amount of the EPA is shown on package page number 106 for your reference. This is page 5 of the form 62 of the budget, and on the second line under code 8012, you're going to see the amounts provided by EPA funding for current year and next year, 2021. For current year, the school is expected to receive $103,868. And for next year, 2021, the estimated EPA revenue based on the latest LCFF calculator will be $253,200. All these funds, as Jerry mentioned, will be spent on instruction. Any questions for the board?
If there's no questions, can I have a motion and a second on Mike first and John second. All right. Mike made the motion and John made the second, right? All right. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John Dortch,
aye.
And Barbara Wilbrand,
aye.
So 5G has passed with 5 ayes. The board will be asked to approve the budget. This is H for the 2020-21 fiscal year and the COVID-19 operation written report. Dr. Kasin.
Hi, board. I would like to start with the COVID-19 operations report. Some background on it. Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N-56-20 on April 22nd, 2020. Which extends the deadline to adopt the Local Control and Accountability Plan, the LCAP, annual update and budget overview for parents to December 15th, on the condition that the governing board of the local education agency adopts a written report by July 1st, 2020. This report must be adopted at the same meeting as the school budget. It is assisted in the County Office of Education and our authorizer. We will post it on the homepage of our school website. The COVID-19 written operations report utilizes the template provided by the California Department of Education for every LEA in the state. This report describes the programmatic changes that were made in response to COVID-19 emergency and the major impact of school closure on students and families. This report meets the requirements by describing how we are meeting the needs of unduplicated students and steps to continue to support the delivery of high quality distance learning, how we provide school meals in non-congregate settings, and arrange some supervision of students during school hours. A little background on this, because our school remains open
while other schools closed, we simply filled in what we added, the additional supports that we added, and how we spent more time reaching out to our students. We reach out to them almost daily anyway, but we added folks into the call system, so the kids were reached out to in multiple formats, phone calls, emails, text messages, resources were sent to them, the cards were sent to them. A lot of teachers were just there for the social emotional support. We link them into resources within their communities for food and any other needs that they may have. Our English learners, our foster youth, and our low-income students, we made sure that they had working equipment, which we always make sure that they have working equipment to be able to access their class, but we double-checked in with them and made sure that they were safe as well and located in a place where they could do their schoolwork, provided them additional resources. So the report, while we stayed open, we just added more support to our students and for our students. Does the board have any questions on the COVID operations report?
No, it sounds good.
Okay, let me move into the budget, which is part of the COVID report. So I've worked with our controller, my controller, Lindsay Dooley, on doing a budget for the 2021 school year. We factored in that there will be no COLA and a decrease in overall funding, as reported by StickMat. We have anticipated some additional growth, especially in the summer school area, so our EDA, we're anticipating having a large amount of the EDA next school year, so it looks like an overall increase just because we're planning on growing. All our numbers are very conservative in nature, and we will work together, both Lindsay and I, on a monthly basis to review our budget to make sure that we're in line and that we remain solid and on a budget, and in here fiscally healthy. I have support from finance, including my controller on the line, if they have any input that they would like to provide. Anybody?
Maybe, Sally, you would like to add some numbers to the budget to give some more details in general?
Sure, so I'll go over the main numbers in the budget so you guys have a brief summary of what's included in the major categories of the budget. So Mission Academy is projecting an ADA of 1,266 for next year. This projection shows an increase of 747 ADA as compared to the current year ADA of 519. As mentioned by Dr. Castle, these are very conservative projections, and they totally anticipate that the school will have positive trends in enrollments. Revenue from the LCFS sources is projected to increase as compared to the current year projected revenue of $5.7 million to about $12.9 million, which is about 126% increase due to the projected increase in ADA. Federal special ed funds will have a small increase of $13,000. Other special revenues such as state special ed, mandate block funds, and lottery will also reflect the impact of the ADA increase and will increase by 141% from $792,000 to $944,000. Lastly, at this moment, we are not anticipating on budgeting for any local revenue for the 2021 fiscal year. The total projected revenue for the fiscal year 2021 for the school will be $13.8 million, an increase of $7.7 million, or which is about 126% compared to current year projected revenue. The budget does reflect an increase in salary and benefits of about 146%. This is mainly to the increase in the projected student enrollment for next year. The budget does include additional purchases of software
and licenses to support instructional needs and to support the increase in student enrollments. All other student-driven expenditures and other operating costs were budgeted based on historical information. Contracted services were budgeted based on continuation of existing contracts and adjusted to support any growth on ADA. Mission Academy is budgeting for an excess revenue of $620,000 for fiscal year 2021, and that added to the current year-end projection, we will end the year with an ending net position of $285,000. The school would end up the year 2021 with an ending net position of $905,000, which is about 7% of the total budget expenditures. Also, the school is preparing for cash deferrals, but according to SIGMEC, they can start as early as this month of June, and will also impact payments of apportionments in April, May, and June of 2021. These deferrals will cause a 90-day delay in payments and will put a significant pressure to the school's cash flow. At some point, the school will be missing 27% of its annual revenue, but the school leadership, with the support of LLAC team, are monitoring cash on a weekly basis and preparing to delay discretionary purchases or services based on the school's cash condition. So this kind of summarizes the bigger areas of the budget. If the board has any questions, we will be happy to answer any questions. Any questions from the board? Can I get a motion and a second? 4H, 5H? Bubble Bill Blaine move.
Cottage Beck second.
Bubble Bill Blaine move. Cottage Beck seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Cottage Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John George,
aye.
And Barbara Willebrand, aye. So 5H is passed with 5 ayes. The board will be asked to approve the consolidated application process and submission for all reports required for the 2020-21 school year. This is aye. Dr. Kasich.
I'm going to give you a little background on the consolidated application. The consolidated application, CONAP, is used by the California Department of Education to distribute categorical funds from various federal programs to county offices, school districts, and direct funded charters throughout California. Annually, from mid-May to the end of June, each local education agency, using the consolidated application and reporting system, submits the spring release of the CONAP. The spring release documents participation in these programs and provides assurances that the LEA will comply with legal requirements in each program. Program entitlements are determined by formulas contained in the laws that created the program. The school will be opting out of the federal categorical program funding during the release of the annual consolidated application and reporting system. I recommend that the board approve the CONAP process and submission for all reports required for the 2020-2021 school year. Does the board have any questions?
Any questions?
John George moved to approve.
Sorry, then John. Well, John moved to approve, and Claudette seconded, so we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Best,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John George,
aye.
And Barbara Wilbrand, aye. So 5I has passed with 5 ayes. J, the board will be asked to authorize the selling of receivables to an experienced and reputable financer of receivables if needed to maintain adequate cash flow. Jerry Denson.
Yes, board. The selling of receivables would be our very last option exercise if needed to maintain adequate cash flow. The percentage rate for selling of receivables are much higher than lines of credit, et cetera, which we will talk about later on this agenda. As Claudio had mentioned, or Claudio will mention, that it is a fast way to get cash infused into the system. but it is our last option. So we're asking the board to authorize the selling if needed, and that's the those are the operative words, if needed, to maintain cash flow. Claudio?
Yes, to Jerry, just wanted to add, the average interest rate on sale of residual will be somewhere between 15 and 18%. And as Jerry said, this will use priority to less expensive available financing and will use sale of residuals only if the alternative sources of financing are insufficient or not available at the time.
Okay, any questions? Can I get a motion and a second?
Mike Malloy moves.
Bob Wilburn second. Okay, so Mike moved and Barb seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Deck,
aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Wilburn?
Aye.
So that was 5J and it passed with 5I. So now we're on 5K. The board will be asked to obtain a line of credit from Pammy Bank if needed to maintain adequate cash flow. Jerry Goodson.
Yes, board, we are asking for permission to proceed with the initial application to establish a line of credit from Pammy. Currently, their interest rates are prime plus 5. With a minimum of anywhere from 3.75 upward, we're seeing it as high as 5.75, but much less than maybe the selling of receivables, certainly. And so the board we are asking the board for permission to proceed with the initial application for a line of credit, it will be used only if needed to maintain cash flow.
Okay, any questions? Can I get a motion and a second?
Motion, Mike Malloy.
Okay, Mike Malloy motioned, and was that John? Were you second?
I will, yes.
Okay, I'm so sorry. All right, Mike and John. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Dex,
aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
Barbara Wilbrand? John George, I forgot.
Hi, George.
It's John.
John, hi.
Okay, all right. So that's passed. So that's 5K. So now we're on L. The board will be asked to approve obtaining a loan from LLAC during the 2020-21 fiscal year pursuant to a promissory note with interest. Jerry Dempsey.
Yes, board, and this is the last of the three options that we will use if needed and approved by the board to protect cash flow, to maintain adequate cash flow. The amount will be a line of credit up to $2 million at an interest rate of 4%. So we are asking the board to approve obtaining the loan and to be used if needed. Thank you.
If I may, Jerry.
Forgive me, Claudio. I'm sorry. I defer to Claudio.
Thank you. Well, the interest rate is 4%, and I think we need to verification. The request for approval is to borrow up to $3 million from LLAC if needed.
Any questions? Board members? Okay, can I get a motion and a second for 5L? So better. That was Barbara Willebrand?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. And then our second? I'll second it, Carol. Okay, so we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So that's 5L with 5Is passed. And we are now moving into 6 additional corporate offices and board members' observations and comments. So, Jeff Brown?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. In addition to thanking you and the board for all the work that you're doing, and Dr. Katz for what she's done and is continuing to do, I'd like to thank some folks that keep me going in the same direction. officer and corporate secretary, and Capricion, executive vice president, Jeff Martineau, vice president, Bill Thompson, the esteemed attorney who keeps me out of jail, and my personal staff, which would be Amanda Dubani and Shelley Spann. Thank you all for allowing me to do what I do. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you. And Claudio, thank you for that correction. I do appreciate it, sir. Just again, thank everyone, the board. Thank you all so much. Okay, board members, real quick, I just want to say, Dr. Kasich, you are doing an awesome job. You're meeting people on planes, and you got people on that are blogging, and just great. Thank you. Anybody else?
Thank you, board, for your support.
All right. If no one else has anything else to say, let's have a motion to adjourn.
Mike, make a motion.
Okay, Claudette moved and Mike seconded. We're going to vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John George,
aye.
And Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
All right, so we're adjourned.